so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
So let's get into the Word. Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. I'm going to be using quite a bit of references, so you might want to, these are not on YouVersion, they're not on the slides, so if you want to take some extra notes, you might want to get a piece of paper out and a pen and jot down some of the scriptures that, because they won't be on the notes that you have from there. I feel like I'm missing something. Am I missing anything? Steve, Roger, Becky? I know what it is. I love y'all so much. Good to see you, bro. Amen. Brother Hatcher, good to have you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Matthew 11:28, just one verse of scripture I want to say, and that is, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to tell you, Monday, I just want to skip Wednesday. Is it all right for confession? Pastor, you don't ever think like that. Yeah, you're right, I never do. I just thought, Lord, I'm so tired. I'm just tired. I don't want to study. Let me just skip it. I thought about, let's give one of these young bucks ready to preach. Let's give them a shot. You know, they're always raring to go. And the scripture of the day, yesterday, when I got up and was doing my Bible reading, the first scripture that popped on my phone was, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I said, you better. Amen. But I'm always confounded. It said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And you got to be very careful about reading into the Word of God what's not there. So you got to be careful, but I'm going to do it. Come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden. So does that mean unless you're laboring for Him, don't come to Him for the rest? Come to me, all you who are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest comes from Him. I want to preach on the subject tonight for a little while. Don't let it handle you. Don't let your issue, don't let your trouble, don't let your tiredness, don't let your weariness handle you. You handle it. Years and years ago, back in Western Montana, back when they had Stagecoach, back when Dave Blackshear was a wee little lad, years ago there was a woman with her little baby, and she was riding out in the cold of Western Montana. And the Stagecoach driver was doing his best to protect her. And the weather, though, was bitter cold. And he saw the mother becoming so cold that she was becoming unconscious. So he stopped the coach. He took the baby, wrapped it warmly, put it under the seat, and then seized the arm of the mother, dragged her out to the ground, and took off without her. Yeah. That story went right, didn't it? I thought something else was going to go good too, but no. Took her and drug her off and was leaving her by the road. But when she began to realize that he was driving away with her baby, something come on her, and she jumped up and began to run behind the stagecoach after the baby. And when the stagecoach driver felt sure that she was warm, he slowed down and let her catch him. He allowed her to overtake the coach, resume her place by the baby. I don't know how you read stories and read things. I read between the lines. That's why it takes me so long. Because the story that I've just read to you is a story that I read, and that's all it said. I'm going to finish it. No, that was it. Resume her place by her baby. But I want to know the story once she called up to him. I bet he was warm too. Because, baby, if you ain't ever messed with some baby's, some mama's baby, son, that was a fight. And I guarantee you, she probably put a whooping on him. But can you not imagine, though, her gratitude when she realized that he had saved her life? Got her blood pumping, got her blood boiling, as a matter of fact. He had done, though, as God sometimes does to us, to shake us out of our soul lethargy and out of our coldness and out of our just going through the routines. Because I promise you that some of our prayer lives would not be what they are if we didn't have trouble. Sometimes if God doesn't allow us to go through some things, if he doesn't drag us off the stagecoach, then we would lull ourselves to sleep and die spiritually. We would be morally asleep, but then something happens that shakes our world and causes us to get back on our knees and begin to pray, get into the house of God, get around some people who will pray for you, whatever it takes, in order to get that thing that, if, as we used to say, the monkey off your back, because you're fighting it. But sometimes God is just like that stagecoach driver, that he allows these things to enter into our lives that nearly devastate us. They almost take us out. They almost take our feet out from under us. But then we realize that we've got a little bit of fire back in us. We've got a little bit of oomph back in us because we had to fight, or something changed in our lives. And so then he does it to grow us and to teach us more about him. Not that we all know that trouble, or we all know that troubles and trials is a part of our lives. After all, Job said in Job 14:1, man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Job chapter 5 verse 7 says, yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. I believe that's what that was written when that woman caught up to the stagecoach driver. And then Jesus said in John 16:23, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but I have be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So he's saying that you're going to go through some stuff, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Nowhere in the Bible did the Bible tell you that life was going to be a road of roses and tulips. But it did say, many are the afflictions, Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall deliver them out of them all. Well, Pastor, then why should I come to Jesus if I'm still going to have trouble? Well, hang on. Everybody has trouble. But the more that I line my life up with this book, the less trouble that comes into my life. The more that my marriage lines up with this book, the less Sherry and I fight. The more my family lines up with this book, the less crazy they act. The more that I line my finances up with this book, the less trouble in finances do I have. Now, does that mean that you're never going to have trouble? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, everybody from time to time has to have a miracle. Right? Remember what I just quoted? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That means those that are in right standing with God, you're going to go through trouble. Then why do I need Jesus, Pastor? Because wouldn't you want to be with somebody who, if he had to, could pick you up from the storm and walk on top of the water that's been coming inside your boat? Hey! Burdens and troubles and trials and difficulties are going to come our way if you live long enough. That's a given. Here's what one writer said. Felix Neff said this: a Christian without affliction is like a soldier only on parade. A Christian without affliction is like a soldier only on parade. However, what is not a given is that you and I will do what we will do about the trials and troubles that come our way. Well, what I'm telling you tonight is you need to get a handle on it. What I'm telling you today is don't let the trouble handle you. You handle it. Because if you just stick your head in the sand, your trouble will handle you. But if you declare the word of God, live the word of God, act the word of God, then you can handle what's been handling you. My God. In this little short verses, Jesus gives us clear teaching on what to do with our burdens. He teaches us how to get a handle on it and don't let it handle you. So number one is this: what do we do with our burdens? We take our burdens to the right place. We take them to the right place. The problem is we're taking our burdens to the places that can't do nothing about them. We're taking our burdens to people and entities that cannot do anything about them. If we want our burdens to be lifted, then we need to take our burdens to the right place. Listen, fretting won't help you. Fretting won't help you. Most people take their burdens here, but it's the wrong place to take them. If all you want to do is complain about them, that's not going to do you any good. Complaining is the language of defeat. The complaining says, I don't have the power to do anything about what I'm going through, so therefore I'm just going to complain about it. Amen? And after all, we are admonished from Philippians 4:6, not to worry when we are admonished that by the word of God. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So if you're going to take them to the right place, the wrong place is just fretting about it. I'll go one step further. Friends aren't always able to help you either. Friends won't help you. Well, you don't know my friends. Oh, I know your friends. They're the ones that left you bleeding and dying around the Jericho Road, that Jesus had to come by and pick you up. Now, why do I say that, Pastor? Because everybody needs good friends, and I agree. But let me go a little bit further. Job tried to tell his friends about his burdens, but he found out that they were, according to Job 13:4, that they were physicians of no value. They were physicians of no value. That what you're telling me is of no value. And I'm amazed at how many of us listen to friends who don't know the word of God. So they're giving you their life experience instead of what the word of God says. Now listen to me closely. And I've known this, but Steve said it the other day, and it just really hit home with me. I don't know where it was. I don't know if it was he and I or in staff meeting. I don't know. But Pastor Steve said that one of the lines about millennials this day and time is that they feel everything. You know, well, what do you think about that? Well, they don't think. They feel. Well, I feel like that's wrong. But what does the Word of God say? I don't know. I just feel like. See, your friends will tell you what they feel. You need to know what the Word of God says. How many in this room have ever wanted to give somebody advice based on feeling? And it was contrary to what the Word of God said. I've wrestled with God. Matter of fact, I went into the Bible and tried to figure out something else. Oh, I know y'all don't do that because y'all ain't as carnal as I am. You know, I know somebody come and ask me for advice and I want to give them some advice. Let me see if I can find a way around it. Let me see if I can find a loophole. Come on. Let me see if there's a way that they could go ahead and just kill them and still make it into heaven. And see if God's going to hold it to my charge if I help them hide the body. Right? No, man. See, you can't just do what you feel. Now, you can do what you feel if it lines up with the Word. But the problem with this day and time is most of us don't know enough of the Word to blow our nose. So therefore, we have to base our stuff on feeling. And everything that you feel is not of God. Everything that you feel is not of God. Everything that you feel is not right. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Well, you said that was the millennials. That is what they say about the millennials. But as pastoring for almost 30 years now, I can tell you a lot of Christians are that way. And Pentecostals are the worst. Because you want to throw a couple of tongues at it. Oh, I'm supposed to do this. No. What does the Word of God say? Because the Holy Spirit will never go against His Word. He will never advise you against the Word. Y'all about to make me preach up in here. I'm trying to just be calm and rest a little bit. The problem with friends is they'll lie to you. Just make my butt look big. No. Shoot, girl, you look good in that. Where? You know what I'm talking about. If you ever been on a cruise, you ever been to karaoke? Oh, my Lord. All the friends get a couple of in there, and some of them didn't get nothing in them. Oh, yeah, girl, you can sing. Boy, you can sing. Get up there. No, you can't. I'm gonna probably lose some potential really good worship leader with some worship people with this story, but I'm gonna tell it anyway. This guy came to us one time a few years ago and said, I want to be on the worship team. What are the requirements? And we have requirements to be on the worship team. So we told him what it was. And then not only do we have requirements, then you got to audition. Why? Because your mama said you can sing don't mean you can sing. Well, who made you to judge? The pastor. And then I let Josh be some judge. Come on. And so, but anyway, this one came. He came in and he began to sing. And he said, "But Pastor, I sing at karaoke every Friday night." I go, "Yeah, buddy," and they make fun of you every Friday night too. I mean, it was horrible. It was bad. It wasn't even like half. It wasn't like you a little pitchy. No, you was bad. You can't carry a tune in a bucket. So then about 2-3 months later, he comes back and said, "Pastor, would you give me another shot?" I go, "Man, bro, I don't mean to be ugly, but you just can't sing, bro." He said, "Pastor, I was sick when I tried out last time. Please let me." And so, you know, we don't do it in front of the whole worship team so that you get embarrassed. So I took him to my office. I have a keyboard in my office. I said, "Okay, what you going to sing?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to sing this." I said, "Okay, you know what key in?" He said, "No." So we found his key. I said, "All right, that's your key right there. All right, go ahead." All right, let's try another song, bro. He said, well, just let me sing Acapulco. I said, all right, go Acapulco, bro. Those of you who are not familiar with Acapulco, that means no music. It's also pronounced acapello, but he went Acapulco on us. And I was about to poke him in his eye by the time it was over. Because he was piercing my ear. I was like, no, bro. Well, can I just be one of the backup singers? I said, yeah, on the back row backup singer. Yeah. So anyway. The problem with friends is they'll lie to you. He even said, he brought me a CD, y'all. He said, Pastor, I made a CD. I go, bro, they were taking your money. They didn't care if you didn't sound good. I said, let me listen to it. Oh, God, that's bad, bro. Here, don't give it to nobody else. Now, listen, they would allow you, friends I'm talking about. Oh, my gosh. Friends will allow you to wallow in self-pity and tell you that you have a right to do so. They may even sympathize with you, but they can't really help you with real burdens of life. Do you know that a real friend is somebody who tells you the truth? Hey, yo, you got broccoli in your teeth. Oh, thank you. That ain't usually my deal. I might have some chocolate on my, but there ain't going to be no broccoli. But here's what Proverbs 27:6, I know. She fixed me some broccoli. She's so excited. Daddy, would you try my broccoli? I said, yeah, I will. And I ate a piece of broccoli. Was it good? It was all right. Would I eat it? She made some more last night. Daddy, you want some? Nope. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So friends won't help you. Here comes another one. Fleeing won't help you. Running away from it won't help you. You'll never be able to run away from the problems and trials of life. That's what we do. We do it with work, right? If it's trouble at home, you just throw yourself into work and don't want to come home sometimes. If you're having trouble in your marriage, you'll flee your marriage and seek other relationships, right? Or you'll flee your issue and try to go into alcohol or drugs or something that will just cause the numbness to come or the pain to go away. A lot of people try to live in denial and fight what they are called to face. Now, I don't know if you caught that. They deny and try to run away from what they're called to face. Because some of us are called to face some things because until you face it, you won't conquer it. Because God can't heal what you conceal. And so therefore God wants you to face it. You don't have to fight it, but you do have to face it. God said, I'll fight the battle, but you got to face it. You got to look at the giant. You got to look at the armies. And if you will face it, I'll fight it. Ah. Fighting against what the Lord brings into your life is dangerous. If you're not careful, you might find yourself fighting against the Lord. The Father will help you. That's where you take it. That's where you take your burdens. The Father will help you. Notice the invitation. He says, come. The Lord throws open the door to his throne. And he invites all of us to come who are in need of him. Come, ye that labor and are heavy laden. And then Hebrews 4:16 tells us that let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But you know, one of the problems is that some of us are feel very awkward in the presence of the throne room of God. Come on now. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, some of us have not spent enough time in the presence of the throne room of God that we feel awkward if we ever go there. Some of us, not all of us, because I know people who are complete opposite, some of us have never been there, so we feel inadequate to go in and ask for help. There are some people that they have never talked to God, but all of a sudden now they need Him, and they want you to quit everything and come to their house. Yeah. But a lot of people don't feel like they're in any that they're in any place or position to come to God. But let me tell you something. My children, whether I'm pleased with them or not, can always call me. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but I'll always answer them. The answer might be no. But they can always call me. His love and concern for his sheep. Here's what Luke 12, 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He is our Father. He's interested in your life. He's interested in helping you and helping you through the difficult passageways of life. But not just to survive them, but to thrive during them, to overcome them, to come through it. Amen? So he is our shepherd, and he'll see us when we need. What did the psalmist David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. What the Bible said? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if he's your shepherd and if he's your father, then you have a right to come to him. Point number two is this. Transfer your burdens to the right person. Take your burden to the right person or to the right place. And transfer your burden to the right person. There is one who cares about your situation. Have you ever thought about, Lord, I would pray about this, but it is so small. You've got so many other things that you need to deal with. You know, listen, I want you to get this picture out of your mind. God never goes, if they just give me one more thing. No. If they just ask me one more thing, I'm just going to explode. Because that's what you and I do. You know? You just don't ask me one more thing, I can't take it. God's not that way. He already knows your need before you ask. Well, then why do I got to ask? Because you got to ask. You got to open up your mouth. You got to open up your mouth and say something. Come on, somebody. Because when you say something, you're believing that he can do something about it. Jesus has walked through loneliness. He's walked through need, he's walked through difficulty, and he's walked through death. There is nothing that you've ever went through or going to go through that he hasn't walked through. He has been hated, and he's been loved, he's been accepted, and he's been rejected. He's been talked about by the very same people who praised him one week and called for his crucifixion the next week. The same people that said, we love you. The same people that he healed. The same people that he set free. The same people that he raised dead up. They're the ones that turned around and crucified him. There's nothing that you can go through that he hasn't been through. He knows what you're going through. He cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And don't think for a minute that he don't understand. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now that just blows me away. But it also sets me free. That just because I'm tempted doesn't mean that I sin. Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. Jesus said that if you committed adultery in your heart, you've done it. You might as well have done it. Well, what's the difference? Well, if I thought about slapping you upside the head, what would you rather me do? There is a difference. Amen. If I just thought it in my mind, I just got to repent in my mind. But if I do it, I got to repent in you, and then I've blown my testimony with everybody else. Right? Okay. Then I got to pray healing over you and. He knows what you need before you know it yourself. There's only one who can do something about your situation. So why don't we keep taking it to the people who can't do anything about it? Because you know what? Sometimes we don't really want anybody to do anything about it. We just want to complain about it. Now I'm getting real trouble right here. But man, you got to realize sometimes your wife doesn't want you to fix their problem. They just want you to hear them.
Amen.
So I have to qualify. I have to qualify for my wife sometimes. She'll tell me a problem. I go, now, is this a problem I need to fix, or are you just telling me about it? Why do you always got to say that? Because I never know. We don't get hints well. Come on, man. We do not receive hints well. Well, I left hints all day. I didn't get any of them. I didn't get any of the hints you left, baby. Sorry. You know, hey, you want to go out to dinner?
No.
Okay. I go in and put on my elastic. I'm ready to relax. Well, I thought we were going to dinner. Oh, I asked you, said no. I wanted you to pursue a little bit longer. Oh, we married. I ain't got to pursue you. I asked you, said no. I didn't want to go anyway. I was just going to be nice. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only does he know what we face, he changed what we face and how we face it. He can change what we face, and he can change how we face it. His power, now I want you to catch this in your mind. His power is beyond your imagination. Hebrews 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that blows my mind because, dude, my imagination is out there. You know, I'll never forget Lauren, who was, I don't know how old she was, but she was playing, I don't remember who it was, Faith Brown and somebody. And they were in her room playing, and she came out and just sat down. And I go, what's the problem? She goes, them girls just can't keep up with my imagination. I said, I hear you, girl. I hear you, girl. Amen. And so, man, but God said, I can do abundantly above all that you ask or think. If you can imagine it, God can do it. Glory to God. Job 42:2 was our text this past Sunday. I know that you can do everything and that your plans are unstoppable. And I think it might be our text for this coming Sunday too. Luke 1:37, but nothing is impossible for God. Isaiah 40:12, he who measured the waters with the sea, or of the sea with the palm of his hand, or measured the sky with the length of his hand, who has held the dust of the earth in a bushel basket, or weighed the mountains on a scale and hills on a balance. He can place the stars in heaven with the spreading of his fingers. Then your problems and mine are no problems at all to him. If he can fix somebody else's problem, he can fix your problem. Ah, point three is this. Trust your burdens to the right provisions. All right, we got to take them to the right place. We got to transfer them to the right person. And now you got to trust them for the right provision. You got to trust him. Now, again, let me talk to us. You know, in case you didn't know it, this is a Pentecostal church. So, you know, most of us in here are Pentecostal. So let me talk about y'all. Talk about us. Because we're Pentecostals, we think that all we got to do is just pray a little bit. And if we speak in tongue a little bit, that's going to cure it. No, not all the time. Sometimes he will remove the burden. All right, how many's ever had that? I mean, just a supernatural, bam, you can't explain it. You don't know where it went or when it left. But man, you just one day realize, well, it's gone. Or maybe you came to an altar in prayer and bam, it was gone and it never came back. Man, and those are incredible experiences. How many's had those? Come on. That somebody prayed over and you, man, it never, praise God. All right, now let's go back a little bit further. How many of you have that? Why are you making us raise our hand? I don't like raising our hand. Shut up and raise your hand. If it applies to you. Because I'm trying to help other people's faith. And I'm trying to help other people's feelings. Because what the devil wants to do is get you disconnected that you're the only one who's ever felt like that. And if he can ever get you disconnected from the herd, he can take you out. But as long as you're connected to the herd, the devil knows if he messes with you, he's got to mess with me. If he messes with you, he's got to mess with that one. That's why I'm trying to get you to feel apart. All right? So how many of us have had issues or had sin or had burden, and it's been years and it's still not removed? So I want you to see it. I've seen him do it in a heartbeat.
Well, but has anybody had my burden?
We ain't got time to take each burden. But let me just go ahead and answer that. Yes, he has. Sometimes he'll remove it. There are times when the Lord changes the situation in an instant, removing your burden. Remember 1 Kings chapter 17? When Elijah showed up on the scene, and the widow woman in Zarephath, remember he went to the brook? He went to the brook, man, and the brook dried up. And then the Bible says in chapter 17 that I've prepared a woman in Zarephath, a widow in Zarephath, to sustain thee there. So he goes there, and then the widow woman says, man, she goes, you got anything to eat? He goes, I'm making me and my son our last pone of cornbread. She was Southern. I'm making me and my son the last pone of cornbread, and we're going to eat. This always cracks me up. She said, I'm going to take these two sticks and make a fire. Say again, I'm the one who picks up on the two sticks. How big of a fire can you make out of two sticks? I just want y'all to know, if y'all come by my house and it's on fire, y'all knew I was making my last meal. I'm going to burn the place down. So it's going to be a fire, best God. Because he said, we're going to eat this pone of cornbread and we're going to die. So if I'm going to die, I'm going to burn my house down. I want everybody to see. I'm just being real. So she said, we're going to do that and we're going to die. But in an instant, he said, and he had to be Pentecostal, because he said, make me one first. Boy, that Pentecostal preacher, make me one first. But man, she had some faith. He said, I like the in between the lines. I want to know what she was thinking when she was getting back to get the stuff. That man must be crazy. If he think I'm going to take my last pone of cornbread for me and my son and give it to him. What, Lord? Whew. Lord, are you sure? Because, Lord, this is all the food I got. Come on, now, y'all know that went on. If she's any kind of normal, y'all know it went on. But somehow, she went over, brought him some cornbread. He said, all right, go make you some. Well, I'm out of meal, you moron. You know that went on. I'm out of milk. Go check. You so stupid. Oh, glory. Hey. And the Bible said that she and her family ate on that for the rest of the famine. All right? In an instant, it was changed. Sometimes he will remove your burden, but sometimes he will relieve your burden. Man, how many likes those times? I love it. There are times when the Lord will leave the burden on your shoulders, but he will lighten the burden. Whew. And boy, preacher, don't preach about that. I want to come in here and talk about, he's going to get the burden off your life. Ha! But now that not always. No, sometimes he just lightens it. Just ever so lightly. Just ever so lightly, man. You've been all bent over, and then ever so lightly. Huh? And some of you, some of you think, well, I just learned how to cope with it. Some of you thought, well, I've gotten used to it. No, what you didn't realize is God lightened it a little bit for you. It gotten a little bit easier. Yeah, you're able to cope with it because he lightened your burden. He didn't lift it, but he lightened it. Yeah, yeah. So sometimes he will relieve your burden. He will lighten your burden. And there are times that he says, I'm just going to lighten it. He did this for Ruth. Man, she didn't have anything. She married a boy. He died. And then his brother died. There was nobody left in their family to die. Boy, ain't you glad that custom ain't no more? Woo! I love you, my family, but Lord, I'd hate to marry some of my sister-in-laws. Because I'd kill some of y'all. And me and Sherry done talked about it. My brothers, y'all would die. And trust me, she knows how to do it. forensic file every night, baby. Go to bed with it every night of my life. I don't know where some of this stuff comes from. I want y'all to know that everything I've said tonight was in my notes. What's my next one? Roderick, help me. Sometimes he will rest you in your burden. I think my wife is texting me. Calm down. Stay focused. No, sometimes he will rest you in your burden. Now, this is the most common aid that we receive usually. He gives us grace to carry the load that we've been assigned. Well, somebody listen to me now. God, Pastor, I can't take anymore. God knows what you can take better than you know what you can take. Because he said, I wouldn't put more on you than you're able to bear without making a way of escape. And I know what some of you are thinking, because I've thought it so many times. Lord, you think more of me than I think of myself, because I can't handle this stuff. But then come along, I get a little bit further down the line and say, I can't believe I handled that which was on me. But Lord, you knew. Good Lord, somebody hear me. He knows what is in you better than you know what's in yourself. And that thing that you didn't think you could handle, that burden you thought you couldn't handle, that God said, I'm going to let you carry it, because when you get done, you're going to be able to strengthen your brethren. When you get done, you're going to be stronger than you've ever been. When you get done carrying that, you're going to have muscles you didn't know you had. You're going to be fit like you ain't ever been fit before. Because here's what he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And listen, don't point at nobody, but have you ever looked at other people's lives and you saw what they carried and you see what they carry, but they stay strong to God and they stay committed to God and they stay sweet before God, and you wonder how in the name of God that they stay that way? It's because God saw something in them that possibly he didn't see in you.
Amen. Glory to God.
My last slide. The glory of him changing us in our situation instead of him just changing our situation. See, we think the glory is him changing the situation. But the greater glory is him changing us in the situation. That's the greater glory. Because, man, it's easier to change the situation. But what the miracle is when you're changed in the situation. And that's what it's all about.
Well, I just want to be happy.
God don't care about your happiness. He cares about your joy. He cares about you getting to heaven. You know, let me tell you something. Did y'all ever play this game? Me and my brothers used to play this game. What would you rather do? You know, and then you come up with something crazy. Slide down a razor blade into some alcohol. We were kids, come on. Yeah, we were pretty morbid back then too. Or something else. I can't think of the other thing we'd say, but what would you rather do? But you know what? Some of us, all we think about is the now. But man, can I tell you that this life is just, in the whole scheme of things, it's just that it's over. James said, you're like a vapor, and then you're gone. It's just for a moment. And God's getting me ready for what he has ready for me. So I need him not just to change my situation and circumstances and burdens. I need him to change me. And you know what I've learned? If he changes the situation, but I'm not changed in it, the next time it happens, I'm still paralyzed in the same place that it happened to me the first time. But when he changes me, if it happens to me again, that same trial, that same situation, I don't wig out or trip out like I once did.
And now I laugh over what I used to cry about. I dance on what used to stop me in my tracks. What used to keep me from praising God, I just smile at it now and worship like I've always worshiped. Why? Because He changed in me. So you got to get, man, you don't let that stuff handle you. You can rest in His yoke. You can rest in His house. You can rest in His spirit. Don't let it handle you. You handle it. I don't know if they still say it anymore. Years ago, we used to say, handle your business. Handle your business. Now, what we meant by that, it was finna get on. Hey, bro, you need to handle your business. That means we're finna tie up. Some of you don't understand. We're about to go to fisticuffs. We're going to throw down. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong. Handle your business. The problem is we're letting stuff handle us instead of us handling it. Come on, stand to your feet. Now, let me tell you what we do. Spirit Life team, come here. Come on. Now, I'm going to give you some instructions, Spirit Life team. Don't get upset. Just do what I say. Ask. Come on up here, you drunk. I'm telling y'all right now, this is the biggest drunk in our church. I don't know. Between her and Ruthie and Deborah. Now look at me, Spirit Life team. I don't want you touching anybody unless they ask you to touch them. All right? Do you hear me? But what we do so often, can I use your portfolio or whatever this is? Is it zipped? That's a big Bible. Son, he come on. That's a Bible, y'all. For real, that's a Bible? Like, large print? Dakes, large print. Matter of fact, I can't even hold it up anymore. So he come ready to fight. But what we do is we come with our burdens and we lay them at the altar of God and we praise and we shout. And come here, Steve. All right? Act like you just laid your burden down. You done shouted. You're praising the Lord. All right, you're praising the Lord. All right, now you're leaving. You're going to leave it there. Go ahead like you're leaving. But then we get about halfway back. And we're, oh, you're forgetting something. And before we get out the door, we done picked that burden back up and towed it with us all the way back out and wondering why you're dragging. So tonight, I want you to come. I want you to leave that burden at the altar. I want you to take it to the right person. Take it to the right place. Transfer it to the right person. And let Christ fill you. Now, if you want these people to pray for you, they're here to pray for you. So I want him to sing a song, sing something. I don't know what you're going to do. But sing something, and you're ready to lay that burden down. I just want you to come down and symbolically lay it at the feet of Jesus. If you want somebody to pray with you, ask them. Come on, come now. That thing you've been dealing with, come on, let's lay it down.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.